Merkle Media.
And I kind of just put my hands out or down, just, you know, like or kind of the back of my hand, just to try to, you know, a friendly gesture, like I was going to let him sniff my hand. And this dog comes straight to me. And as soon as he got to me, he jumped to bite me right in my face.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle.
And I'm Chesterfield McMillan.
And we're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. We don't care how you do it. Just do it. Dad, we got that voicemail line, and we need to do the voicemail line show eventually here one of these days. We got to get Jack and Alex down here in the studio.
Yeah, we do. That'd be cool.
I think it'd be fun. So tell them about the voicemail line.
All right, here's the story with the voicemail line. You call it, you leave a message, 5-10 minutes, short story. That's great. If it's longer than that, you need to contact the show. Now, here's how you get a hold of the voicemail line. You pick up your phone. You dial 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
You know, I'm watching you do this, and I'm looking at the phone number here, and it just hit me, random thought. Do you remember the phone number from the trailer back in Kutztown, the trailer park?
No.
You don't? No. I think I do. It was 610-285-4259.
4375.
No, it was not 4375. It was 4259.
4259.
It was 4259. Look at that. Bang.
Look at that, man.
Bang.
I'm telling you what, sharp as a tack.
I'm telling you, man. My brain is actually healing itself, and I'm becoming smarter.
That's fantastic. Oh, wow. I don't know. That's kind of pushing it.
Maybe. All right. So, listen, friends, we also offer preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. There you can get yourself emergency supply, food, and survival gear. That will last up to 25 years. We had a friend in studio. You'll hear that interview next week, but we had a friend in studio, and he was saying how he purchased stuff from preparewithhll.com because he likes being prepared, and so should you. Also, last but not least, we have buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. That's where you can give us a little tippy tip, like a tip jar. It's virtual. It's a virtual tip jar. But that is where you can keep us caffeinated.
Amen,
all
brother.
Night long. Dad, I think you got some names to
I
read
do.
Off.
We got a shout out. We got some shout outs here to some people who have done just that. Amy, Diane, Carpet Greener, Duane, Steven, and Leanne. Thank you. That was awesome. It was cool to get those little messages from buymeacoffee.com.
How did you enjoy the caffeine that they provided?
I loved it. I love caffeine in all its forms.
Yes, I know you do.
Yes.
I actually purchased caffeine pills when I...
When That's I was, a waste.
Listen.
Drink the coffee.
No. Listen, I wanted to drink the coffee, but when you're out in the middle of the woods, there's no coffee.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so I bought caffeine pills and was popping caffeine pills to stay awake all night hunting dog man. That's the wrong show, though, but we'll keep it moving.
Yeah.
If you're curious about that and you have no idea what I just said, just check out the confessionals. You'll get the skinny. All right, friends. Listen, this week we have Colby coming on the show. Colby's from Texas. He is an LTL driver for Old Dominion, and he comes on to share his pedaling stories from the road. And we're going to have him back on to share his
line haul.
We're going to have him back on to share his line haul stories in the future. But let's get to Colby right now. All right, today we got Colby on the show. Colby, what's going on, man?
Man, not much. Looking forward to this conversation.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Dad, how you doing?
Wow, you really shocked me on that one. I was not ready for that. Usually it's, you know, say hello, Dad.
I was trying to find I was trying to find a way to include you in
The conversation.
In the conversation.
I'm doing all right. It's good to be here. It's good to talk with Colby today.
Yeah. So, Colby, man, listen, I hear that you drive LTL as well, my man. So, you're down in Texas, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're here in Dallas at the Dallas terminal there.
Okay. So, Dallas, P&D, LTL. That sounds a lot like an experience I would have in doing Philadelphia with Pitt, Ohio. I can only imagine. So did you start out doing city driving?
No. I didn't know anything about freight business or driving a truck, really. I was working construction after I got out of the Army, and I was trying to figure out something that I could do that I didn't have to break my back, but I could still make some good enough money. And so I started to look through these emails of companies that like to hire veterans. And I ran across a deal for CR England, and I didn't know anything about anything, right? Looking back now, I'm glad I went green instead of red. But anyway, I was gonna go to that deal. Was slotted to go and get a CDL through them, go through their school and all that. And I had told a guy at my church about it, and he worked for UPS, and he told me he said, "Man, hold on, before you do anything about that, let me talk to my dad." And his dad worked for OD. And I said, "Well, you need to let him, you know, whatever, because I'm slotted and I'm tired of, driving an hour, 15 minutes one way to make $15 an hour. It just ain't working out."
Right.
And, so anyway, that was like a Sunday. And then that Tuesday, I actually had an interview at OD, and I went and, hired on part time to work the dock there. And after about a year of working the dock, the Lord just opened up a door where I could go to their actual driving school. And I got in the driving school and started driving P&D there. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That is really awesome. That's cool. I didn't even know that OD did that. I had no clue.
Well, I don't know if it's this way everywhere, but, you know, they won't hire anybody full time if you don't have any experience in freight. And so I had to get on, you know, part-time and was breaking trailers and all that, which is perfectly fine. But I didn't, you know, I went there to get into driving a truck.
Sure.
And they have their own internal school, you know. And, you know, like I said, if it wasn't for the way the Lord worked everything out, they just happened to need one more guy. And the guy that got me on there kind of got me broke in. He was running line haul for OD at the time. And he was talking to the guy that put on the school. And he said, "Well, I got a guy who will do it. He wants to drive." And sure enough, man, I not long after I was actually made full time on the dock, I got to go into their school. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, that's really cool. How long ago was it? How long have you been driving since you got your license and all that?
Let's see, about 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago.
That's awesome. That is really awesome. I'm so glad that it worked out that way. God has a way of doing those things, doesn't he?
Man, he does. It was good. There was a time, you know, where I had to cut my ties with the other offer. Mm-hmm. And I just had to say, you know what, Lord, I believe this is the way you're leading me, but it was taking them a while to get back to me from OD. And I, you know, there was that point where you just had to take that step of faith. And yeah. I was like, well, you know, I believe that this is actually where you're leading me, Lord, because of all the connections and some other things that had happened. And so I just had to wait and just keep pushing through, you know, where I was at, and told the people, the recruiter that was trying to get me to come over to that other company, that I wasn't coming over there. And boy, he was ticked off, but I was like, well, you know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I'm going to have to do.
So, I mean, that was what, 6 years ago. And I mean, how long ago was it before, since New England shut their doors? I mean, it's been what?
No, they're still out.
Are they?
CR England, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's CR England.
Yeah.
I was thinking New England Motor Freight.
Yeah, not New England Motor Freight.
I was thinking New England. I was going to say, because I think he said the red, and I was just like, yep. connected it. That's why when he said that was a good choice, I was like, yeah, because he would be, he'd be out of a job right now.
Yeah, well, that's all right, though. I mean, it's, you know, the way the industry is right now,
yeah,
you'd find something pretty quickly.
Oh, for sure. Do they have New England Motor Freight down in Dallas?
Or did they? I've never actually seen that.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely not going to see it now.
Yeah,
they had some of the ugliest equipment. It looked like they never upgraded anything for their drivers. I think I saw one of their drivers the one time pushing his tractor with his feet, bare feet, you know,
so, like a Fred Flintstone type of thing.
Yabba dabba do.
Uphill both ways, yeah, in buddy. The snow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he had a time, I tell you.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, that's cool, man. And I think that I've noticed a trend over the years that a lot of people who served in the military tend to go into truck driving. Mm-hmm. Could you, Colby, have any guesses as to why? Because I don't have any idea, but I know there's a lot of former military guys who wind up being behind the seat driving a tractor trailer.
Right. As far as why, I don't know. Maybe it's on the other end. Maybe it's just companies. Maybe they see some sort of an advantage as far as hiring veterans, or maybe they just want to say, look at me, we like our veterans, that kind of thing. But as far as like what's appealing, like, I mean, I was in the Army and I was in the infantry and jumped out of airplanes and everything, and didn't, like, I had never really thought about driving a truck at all. It just ended up happening that way. So as far as like why a veteran would want to drive a truck, I really couldn't answer that. But I think it probably has more to do with companies wanting to maybe have that kind of an image where they support the veterans of America, that kind of thing. I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, I'm sure that there's probably, I don't know, maybe benefits or something. I don't know. I just know that there is quite a few guys at Pitt, Ohio, the terminal I worked at, that had been in the military. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Brian Bowers was down here. He was in the military. Right. And
Randy. Right.
And so, like, I wonder, maybe it's something to do with just the idea of being out and about on the road. I mean, you spend all this time in the military where you're tasked with certain things, and, you know, especially if you're deployed and stuff, like, in, say, you're Afghanistan deployed, you're used to being out about doing things, having things you need to do while you're out, and maybe truck driving kind of fits that bill for you, and, you know, kind of keeps you in that similar mindset that you're already in.
That may be
task oriented.
Yeah, that may be. And two is, you know, I'm sure every guy has their own reason, or every person has their own reason, you know,
yeah,
for whatever it draws, whether it's the paycheck, whether it's the benefits, whether it's the, what you were just talking about, the individuality that comes with the job. Because, you know, once you leave the terminal, you're the guy in charge. You're the person in charge of that truck. So what it does, where it goes, you know, how you go about your day,
yeah,
that's your responsibility, and you're responsible for the truck. And I think a lot of veterans have, you know, a lot of guys again, a lot of people in the military have that mindset where you give me the task to do and I'll figure out how to get it done, and it'll get done. You know, nobody stand there over your shoulder saying you got to do it this way or that way. You're the guy in charge, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I could see that for sure, especially coming from the guys that I served with. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we dislike is having somebody micromanage us, you know, and just like you said, you give us a task. Don't tell us how to do it and check up on us every 15 minutes, but tell us what you need done. And we're just trust us that we are going to do what we can do to get it done right, you know, and get it done safely for the most part. And that's definitely something that at least it attracted me. Maybe get them dogs that attracted me to move from P&D to line haul. Sure. At least is being able to just be set free, you know, and go and do your job. Yeah. And, you know, nobody's worried about you. You don't have dispatch breathing down your neck and all that kind of stuff.
Yep, exactly. Now, do you run at night a line haul, or are you during the day? Or does your schedule change?
Currently right now I'm running nights. I've had three or four different schedules, and they've all varied, you know, Tuesday through Saturday or Wednesday through Sunday, or sure. And they've been anywhere from 11 p.m. gate time or 1 a.m. gate time, or I think the last one I had last year was 4:30 gate time. I was running from Dallas down to San Antonio. But we're lucky enough at least in Dallas at our terminal, we have such a heavy load, that we run 24 hours a day. Mm. And, you know, so if you have enough seniority, you can pull a day run.
Yeah. That would be nice. I've been doing nights for 22 years. And it's not really quite, you know, we call it nights, you know, but it's not really nights. You know, it starts somewhere around 8 o'clock. So you're still in the middle shift, and then you run all night long and you get done maybe 9-10 o'clock in the morning. So you're running into the day shift. So it's not like it's, you know, it's a tougher way to do it.
It's you will see the moon at some point shift.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah,
but it's okay.
Yeah, I've got pretty familiar with the phases of the moon and tracking, looking stars and all that kind of
stuff.
Yes,
sir.
Leave at ten at night, and I feel like somebody steering a ship back in the day and having to navigate by the stars. You know.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. I know how that feels. It's been a long, long time. I did P&D when I first started 24 years ago with Pitt, and moved to line haul because I could not see myself doing the P&D thing for a long, long time. I was like, this is enough. When something opens up, let me know. And when it did, I was gone. I was on line haul.
Yeah, I would have done line haul, but my wife forbid it. So,
well,
she's like, no, I want you to bust your back every day. Yeah. That's how I'll know you feel the love for me.
Yeah. Sacrifice.
I'm like, go ahead.
I was gonna say that's, you know, that's how it was. I guess maybe it's like that everywhere for P&D. It's especially in a big city. I guess, man, it's rough. It is. And the only other thing I wouldn't want to do besides being a P&D driver is be a P&D dispatcher.
Oh my word!
That would be miserable to me. My dispatcher, I remember he had two different cell phones and the company phone. And I'd walk in there sometimes and he'd literally have two phones, like one at each ear, you know? Wow. And golly, man, I would not want to have that job for sure.
No, I with my terminal had two dispatchers that covered certain areas, but when one dispatcher was out, I saw a lot of that, you know, He would be using the two different Nextels, then you'd have his office phone in front of him, and then he's running the office phone to the guy who's not there, and he's, you know, you always know when the one guy is by himself, because when you call, instead of like it, you know, you're making good time during the day, you're empty at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so it gives them some serious flexibility, and normally you call around that time to say you're empty, it's like, hello? And when they're by themselves, so he's like, hello? Like, it's just
the stress
like,
has gotten.
It's just like, oh, you're calling for me to do more work. Got it. Let me just drop what I'm doing right now, all for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that's got to suck for dispatchers. It's like, you know, every time that phone rings for, you know, customers to people that you're dispatching, like you have to like theoretically drop everything you're doing to help that one person in that moment all the time. It's like your whole life is existing to just help other people at a drop of a hat. That's got to suck now that I think about it.
Yep.
That does sound like it's a bad job.
That's why you just stay out of it.
Yeah.
And then
go ahead.
And then you're the guy out on the street and you have, you know, some kind of crazy thing going on. And the last thing you want, you're thinking in your mind, the only person I really can answer my question is dispatch, but that's the last person I want to call right now. Sure enough, you call them and they're like, I'll call you back. I'll call you back in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll call you back in 5 minutes. And you're like, I'm standing here with these people staring at me, like wanting to answer.
Yeah.
And like, you can't call me back in 5 minutes. I need to know, you know, but they don't even give you a chance to say anything. They just hang up the phone.
Yep.
You know, I listen, this is funny. So this is shortly after I started at Pitt, Ohio. I was still kind of learning the ropes and all that stuff. And they don't have these kind of phones anymore. They're two ways now. It's just you have to actually call. I guess Sprint had dropped a two-way option. But at the time, we had two ways. And I think I called on a regular phone and not used the two-way.
Mm-hmm.
But I put them on speakerphone. And it was the OSND guy, you know. What does it stand for? Over
shorts and damage.
Yeah. And so I call him to talk to him about something with the customer or something like that. And he's on speaker and he just starts bad mouthing the customer. And the customer's standing right there. And I'm like, Brian. And he, what? You're on speaker. And that's what I learned. You don't call OSND on speakerphone.
No. Lesson learned.
Oh,
a little late,
man.
But it was learned.
Yeah. Anybody listening to this that knows who I'm talking about knows that fits the bill too. he just kind of goes off and says whatever he wants, and often it's to the driver himself, and then pisses us off, and we wind up throwing the phone across the truck because we're that angry, and we break the phone our second or third week on the job. I never did that. Yes, I did.
Well, you know, the funny thing is you guys talk about this stuff, and it's like no. When I was a P&D driver, you had to stop and find yourself a payphone.
Yeah,
and call collect.
A rotary phone.
Yeah, you know, right.
Can I borrow your can I
do you have a phone? Can I use your phone?
Can I borrow your messenger pigeon?
Yeah, that's what it felt like sometimes. Hey, where's the snail mail? I could probably mail it to them and get an answer back before.
Oh man. All right.
So
listen.
Anyway, that's
enough. Well, back then.
Go ahead. No, go right ahead. I was going to say
back then, you were probably much more capable of solving the issues yourself, you know, because, going through all that trouble, having to call back, you know, and find a phone and everything, you just figured it out on your own, you know?
Yeah.
That was the best way to do it, was just get it done. Just figure it out and go.
Back then, they wanted somebody who was good at problem solving, good at working on their own.
Yep.
Now it's like, we don't want you to problem solve. We don't want you to make decisions on your own. If you got an issue, call us. We'll tell you what to do.
Yep.
We didn't hire you to think.
Yep. You're not a thinker. Don't worry about it. We pay people to think for you. Don't worry about it.
Oh my gosh. They're just like, you're just a dumb truck driver. Do your job. Turn the wheel, push the pedal, shift the gears, and shut up.
Yeah, just work the knobs and levers.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. Okay. Colby, I hear you got some stories for us.
Yes, sir.
So we wasted 20 minutes just talking about nonsense. But listen, being a brand new guy on the block and getting the short end of the stick, tell me about how that life is at OD. Did we say that what company you're at?
OD.
Okay, I wasn't sure if. Yeah, we did. Yeah. OD. Go ahead.
I guess we should specify OD stands for Old Dominion
Freight. There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, Well, when you're the new guy on the, you know, you're the new guy, and you, so you just come in, you don't know where you're going to go, and you end up having to cover down on somebody else's route. And, you know, everybody expects you to know where you're going, what time, you know, you're supposed to be there, and how you're supposed to interact with the people when you get there, because every place is always different. And, you know, where they like you to park, where they don't like you to park. And you go and you have something new like that every single day. It's, that's pretty taxing. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that always ticked me off. You walk into a place, you've never been there before, and the guy who's working there looks like he's been there for decades. And then he starts talking to you, talking down to you, like you should know certain things. And it's like, yo, you better pump the brakes. Hey, don't you remember me? No, I don't remember you. Exactly, dude. You don't remember me because I've never been here. Stop talking to me like I should know what I'm doing and just tell me where to go. I never got in trouble for saying that, though. So, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you walk on the dock and then they ask you, well, what is it? And you're like, it's in a box, man.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
It's in a box, man. What do you mean?
It's yours. You ordered
it. It's yours. That's what it is.
It's got your address on it. That's why I'm here. Oh, yeah. I know. I've heard those. I've had those conversations.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. There's such a delay, man, that I want to respond to what you're saying, and then we end up cutting each other off. Anyway.
Yeah, listen, if there's a delay, just keep talking and I'll shut up, okay? Because we know there's a delay on this end. Don't worry about it. It's just internet crap.
Roger that. Anyway, you know, and then you get the situation where, you know, a lot of times, you know, good seasoned P&D guys who have a route that they've been running for a while, they interact with the guys who are loading the trailers for them, you know, and they get everything set up in their trailers for them the way they like it and the way they have, you know, for their route and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And that's great, you know. And but man, when you're getting the crap end of the stick or the short end of the stick, you end up getting something loaded on your trailer that's at the nose of the trailer. You don't have a way to get it off. And the people that you're delivering it to are looking at you like, well, how are you supposed to get this thing off? You know?
Yep.
And like one time we've had some sort of like farm implement or, you know, something that weighs a couple thousand pounds.
Uh-huh.
And they expect you with a floor jack to pick that thing up and move it around inside the trailer, which it won't even move around. And they barely got it put on there with a forklift on the dock. And then you're supposed to move it 15, 20 feet to the back to get it so somebody can pull it off. Or that person that you are delivering it to, they expect you to have some way to get it off the trailer yourself, you know?
Yes,
and then
sir.
When you get there, they're looking at you. And then, you know, it was a problem. What it felt like was I was having a fight. I was in a boxing match and I had one hand tied behind my back and they're like, well, it's sink or swim, man. And you better get it figured out. So you got pretty creative, you know?
Yes. You learn how to do it. You figure out ways to work around it and you make it work. Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I guess that's some of the things that you're talking about, like being the new guy in the block kind of thing too, because, you know, there's times that, you know, within your first 6 months of doing P&D at an LTL company, and it's your first time doing this kind of stuff. I mean, you're learning as you go. I mean, yeah, you know how to drive the truck. Of course, you know how to operate a pallet jack. But there's so many other little things you pick up along the way through experience that help you manage on the job that you just don't have those in your tool belt when you first start. And man, it can be a nightmare. It can be a nightmare. And you're right. It's just like eventually you get to the point where it's just like you got to figure it out. You just got to get it done. And so, like you start transitioning from when you first start, you get out of the truck, you're like, hi, who do I talk to for delivery? And then you start talking to that person, and you kind of put things in their court and let them make the decision as to how they want this whole procedure to go. Eventually, you get to the point where it's like, yo, I got to keep it moving. So let's go. Let's go. This is how it's going to get done. And you just start moving. And all of a sudden, you just start seeing people put their arms out and they start catching stuff. And it's just like, yep, this is how we're doing it.
Yes. This is how we're doing it. And you have to take control. That's what winds up happening. Yeah. You take control. And do what needs to be done.
Yeah, because, yeah.
You know, like you said, like Tony.
Yeah,
said,
and a lot of times, a lot of times they're, you know, that's kind of what they're expecting anyway, is for you to, but like, yeah, I mean, that's what I was referring to, is being a new guy on the dock, man. You don't know your backside from a hole in the ground, and you're just trying to figure everything out, and everybody's always looking at you, you know, one, like you're supposed to know what you're doing, and two, like, you know, like, you're gonna know how to solve every single problem that there is. I felt like MacGyver out there driving a truck around all the time.
Ain't that the truth? All I need is bubble gum and some duct tape and some wire ties, and we'll make it all work. You know, somehow we'll pull the time machine and be able to go back in time. You know, it's like, no, I'm not magical. I can't. You know, there's no unicorns hopping around my truck.
The funny thing is that you get sent out there to do a job, and they basically tell you, you just got to figure out and get it done. And so you start doing things on the job to just get it done that probably aren't the safest and wouldn't be in the, you know, company handbook on how to handle things, but nobody's telling you how to do anything. And you just got there to say, get it done, get it done. Why are you running behind? So you just like, okay, we're getting it done the way I can do it, the best way I can do it, as fast as possible. And then all of a sudden you get injured, and then they say, how'd you get injured? I was doing this. Well, why were you doing it that way? Because you guys aren't helping me any other way. You give me a broken pallet jack with wheels falling off. I got literal tons of firewood of broken pallets on my trailer. I get stuck every inch I pull, a 2,000-pound freight. Yep. You know, like, you guys, you guys are doing me no favors. And then when I get hurt, you want to say, well, why were you doing it that way? You know, it's just like, what am I supposed to do?
That reminds me of up around where we are, there's all these plasma donation centers, right? Mm-hmm. So you'll get sent out to deliver pallets of, I guess it's saline, you know, saline solution or whatever. And they're, you know, 6-8 foot tall pallets of saline solution. And, you know, you can barely get those things moving around inside the trailer by yourself, because they weigh, you know, I don't know, 14, 1600 pounds or something. So, and, if you got any little bit of debris, laying on the floor, you know, you have a little bitty nut or something that, you know, you wouldn't even think about, and you're trying to roll that jack around in there, and it wheel hits that thing. And it ruins every bit of momentum you have.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a bad day. Yes, that's a bad day.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And you know what? I will be the first to, I'm sure we've all done it, but I'll be the first one to bring it up. There are days I had a stop. I looked at the freight and I just said, nope, I ain't doing it. And I just would skip it, and I wouldn't tell anybody that I'm skipping it. And I would just bring it back and say, I don't know.
They were closed.
They
were full. Yeah, there was three guys ahead of me.
Yeah, needed to take a 30-minute break. By the time the 30-minute break was up, they were closed. Yeah. I missed the stop. My bad. What reason? Reason for bringing it back? My bad. You know, like, whatever. I'm not doing it. We'll deal with it tomorrow. Maybe we'll go on somebody else's, you know, truck, or, you know, maybe I'll even write a note for the doc to, you know, take what they have put on my trailer today and put it on another pallet that my pallet jack will fit under. I mean, Colby, I can almost guarantee you've had this happen to you, where you have like a one pallet delivery. It's let's say it's 1500 pounds, but it's on a pallet that you can only get one fork under, and they want you to drag it 45 feet the length of the trailer to the back. And it's just like, it's not happening. You know, it's just like the guys who are loading the truck, you would think, yo, like, I can see that this is not going to work for a pallet jack. Let me find an empty pallet and put this on top so that the guy can move it at least.
Right.
But they just, They just grip it and rip it and just throw it in there. And there's no sweeping the trailers out. There's no cleaning the trailers out. They just, all the debris that's on the floor, they just slide it to the nose of the trailer with the first few skids they put on. And when at the end of the day, when you're trying to get your last stop off the trailer, you can't because it's all jacked up underneath a bunch of firewood. And you're pulling your back out. You having hernias. And they ask you why you got a hernia. And you said, because the truck is filled with trash and stuff. And they said, oh, you should have swept it out. Ah, like it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's debris. That's debris from today. That's not from earlier.
Exactly.
The trailer was clean when we put the freight on there.
Yes.
Not my case.
Many times I just took some of my straps and doubled them over and then hooked it around the pallet and just had somebody drag the thing from outside the trailer to the back of the trailer so you could grab it.
Yes,
I'd say, hey, you got, you know, this is how we're going to do it. This is once I had some understanding of what I was doing, you know, and I had grown a little bit, and I'd said, hey, the only way you were getting your stuff off this trailer and it's not going to have to go back to the dock and be late to you like tomorrow or the next day is if you, And then they look at you like, well, why would you, why are you doing this to me like this, you know? And I would always just say, look, they loaded it in there on the front, on the nose of the trailer. I'm not a forklift.
Yep.
I can't get it to the back of the trailer. Do you have something we can drag it to the back of the trailer? Or I'll take it back. It doesn't really bother me.
Exactly. You know?
There's your choice. Take it or leave it.
Yep.
Speaking my love language,
I have no qualms. Yeah. I'm good with going back with it.
Yeah, there's this one place I was always going to, Continental Concrete, and they, by the name Concrete, and every pallet I would bring would stand about almost 6 feet high, about 2,500 pounds of their mixture, and it was always one of my last stops, so it's towards the nose, and it was always on pallets that were always either jacked up or crappy, the particle board, they're not really real pallets and all that stuff. And I there's been quite a few times that I just couldn't move it. And so I would tell the guy, I was like, listen, man, you have one of those extender fork things that go in. I forget what it's called now, but you know, they can reach
a sky track.
Yeah. Yep. You reach in, you can grab it. If it's out of reach for you, then you're not getting it today. Or I'll drive back to the terminal, get on a forklift, pull it to the end, strap it in, and I'll come right back and we'll unload it and we'll waste a lot of time doing it that way.
Yep, but when you're getting paid by the hour.
Paid by the hour, and also you're not going to get the rest of your deliveries done. Right. And then the reason why? Because freight was misloaded. I had to come back to the terminal to fix what should have been done right the first time.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times that happened to me.
It must be nice.
What?
It must be nice to be that close to your terminal.
I remember.
You know?
Not always. That was like a 25-minute drive.
Right.
But because I kept it close to the terminal most of the time. But there, I remember the first time I ever did that, I was in Bend, Salem. And it was just like, I couldn't do any the rest of my day unless that stuff came off. Right. So just drove an hour back to the terminal, get on the forklift, beep, 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 up. Done. Back in the truck.
It's worth the work.
Yep. Driving an hour back and just like, whatever.
It's freaking hilarious.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being paid by the hour.
Yeah. That's what sucks when you're not. anything that is not getting paid is just wasted time. So.
Yeah. So we got a sponsor for today's show. So we're going to take a second and talk about that sponsor, because we never had a sponsor for an episode on Hammer Lane. And the first time is always the best time, right?
Yes, it is.
So we were contacted by a company that's really well known, and I actually used their product, and I thought, heck yeah, if you want to sponsor this show, why not? So this episode is brought to you by Manscaped, and it's just one of those things where I was like, let's do this. I mean, Manscaped is an awesome company, has great products, and I got a story for you, Dad.
Oh,
you want to hear a story?
I do want to hear a story.
So, I'm going to tell you this story. If I told you this story when this happened, you'd kill me.
Uh-oh.
All right, so I'm young Tony, teenager, and I'm learning how to do personal care grooming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how do I trim down in the nether regions?
Did you use my razor? You disgusting human being.
Wow. I didn't have anything else.
Wow.
I didn't have anything else.
Wow.
I didn't know what to do.
I can't believe you told me that.
Oh, man. Wow. I got some good stories for the audience now that we have Manscaped. I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything to buy stuff, so I just used what was available.
You could just ask your mom.
I didn't, like, how much, mom, I need something to trim my nuts with, mom.
You could just say, mom, can you get me some razors?
I wasn't going to use razors. Like, I don't want to hurt myself, you know, which, speaking of, Manscaped has some great products for that, because yes, their trimmer is actually designed to reduce nicking down.
Nicking and catching.
Yeah, nicking and catching down below. I'll tell you, listen, it is a problem. The guys out there that take the business down south like that, you are getting caught sometimes in situations where it hurts a lot. And you just wish sometimes you were just like, you know what? I wish I would just let it grow a couple more weeks, because that really hurt. I'm telling you. Manscaped is a great product for that. I've been using it for years. I trim the chest hair down and, you know, just kind of make like my pecs a little poppier more, you know, like without the hair and stuff. It kind of just, it does the job.
It does.
Yeah. And so, listen, I love Manscaped. They have a lot of great products. They have the really trimmer. They have butt wipes. They got the ball toners. Listen, Dad, right here. Like, isn't that great? Crop preserver, ball deodorant, and then we have the ball toner. The Manscaped sent us a bunch of great free product.
Yes, they do.
Boxer briefs, t-shirts, and great stuff to try. But one thing that I've been wanting to get, and I just hadn't made time to get it, and it was just great timing on Manscaped part. They reached out and say, hey, we would like to sponsor your program. I wanted to get the Weed Whacker.
Right.
What's the Weed Whacker? The Weed Whacker trims your nose hairs.
And your ear.
And your ear hair. And I needed that because, like, I was taking, like, I have lots of clippers for different things in my bathroom.
Yeah, now you have a place of your own, you're using your own clippers.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody's the bar. You have nobody to borrow from.
I have so many clippers for so many different purposes. And I was taking one clipper and using it up in my nose and stuff. I'm like, you know, I got to just get the Weed Whacker, you know? And so I was fortunate that Manscaped actually sent me a Weed Whacker for free to try out. So here's the thing, friends. Manscaped is sponsoring this program, and this is a test trial run. They are seeing how things go, and they told us that if just 8 of you listening over the next 4 weeks use the promo code HAMMERLANE when you purchase product, they'll enter into a long-term deal with Hammer Lane Legends. And in all honesty, I don't see why that's a problem. I think that there has to be at least 8 people out there that need these products, that have been wanting to get these products, and now you got a great reason to, because you want to help out Hammer Lane Legends and also get some great stuff like the Weed Whacker for your nose and ear and the body trimmer.
And let's be honest, Christmas is just around the corner.
Yeah.
Wives, Christmas is around the corner. Your husband will love you for it.
Yes.
And you'll love your husband more for it.
Or moms, get it for your sons so they don't use their dad's trimmers.
Razors. Right. Yes.
Oh, please, man. Listen, when Manscaped approached us and I was like, heck yes, this was the first thing that popped in my head. I was like, oh, I cannot wait to tell this story.
Just totally weird out your dad.
Yeah, you know, it's just... Well, yeah, I probably did, but
it really did. It just changed our relationship.
It's okay. It's okay. It happened a long time ago. So, listen, Manscaped has some great products. The lawnmower, which is the trimmer, they have the 4.0 that just came out, friends. It's a great product. It actually is wireless charging. It just has like a charging port that you just set your trimmer in there and it does the charging. It's just freaking awesome. It's a lot better than the version I have, so I can't wait to use it. Listen, here's the deal. Get 20% off free shipping with the code insert code. Oh, I just read insert code.
Insert code here.
Oh, this is what happens when I actually start reading the copy they sent. Okay, let me try this again. Get 20% off free shipping with the code HammerLane at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code HammerLane. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Friends, trust me. It's a great product. You've heard about it for years, I'm sure. And you'd be doing us a solid by purchasing the product and using Hammer Lane as the code so that we can enter into a long-term relationship with Manscaped.
And don't forget, I mean, it's not just trimmers. I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff there.
Tons of
all
stuff.
All kinds of stuff.
You want boxer briefs? Man. They got it.
They do.
T-shirts, they got it. Butt wipes, they got it. Ball deodorant, they got it. Ball toner, they got it. All the good stuff right there at manscaped.com and use promo code HammerLane. So, Colby, man, jumping through hoops in the beginning is no fun. But you know what? Speaking of concrete, I hear you got a little bit of a scary story involving a cinder block or a concrete block, I should say.
Oh, yeah. We had one of, you know, at the end of your P&D day, you have to go make swaps or, you know, take an empty and go make a swap and then bring back a loaded trailer. So we have a McCormick warehouse about 10, 15 minutes south of Dallas. And so I was out making a swap one night and we're in the old Freightliner trucks that we used to have. They, you know, hardly anything worked in them and they were falling apart and rattling and everything. And, anyway, the trailer, it was like I think it was a full-size van and they always seem to be overloaded, but you don't really have a choice because they're not going to reload it anyway. So you got to pull it back. Well, I was coming back and it was a rainy night and I had come and got onto Interstate 20 and was headed west and was about to go up under this interchange. And, the street lights or the interstate lights are shining down and the windshield wipers are, you know, sometimes they work intermittently or they don't work, you know, right. And you got the rain on the windshield and you can't really hardly see anything. And I'm driving along and I look up on the, overpass. Yeah. That I'm about to go under and I can see, it looks like there's somebody, one or two people standing up there or walking across there. And it's in the middle of the night. In the rain. And I'm like, what in the world? And I'm driving along and I'm thinking, did I really just see somebody standing up there? It looked like somebody in a white shirt or something. And right as I went to go under that bridge, it sounded like a bomb went off inside the cab of that truck. And I seen this big old block of concrete shoot off. It skidded off the hood of the truck right out in front of me onto the interstate. And it shattered the windshield and dented the roof right where everything come together.
Wow.
And, I mean, the only thing I can figure is that person that I saw up there threw it off the bridge onto the truck, right as I went under there, man. And after I cleaned my britches, I let dispatch know what had happened. And it was pretty crazy, man. Oh, I mean, if it had been a little bit lower, it'd come right through that windshield. For sure, because it was a big old piece. It was, you know,
wow.
It was bigger than a regular sized brick. It was big.
That is crazy. That is crazy, man. And that is one of the things that you hear about and you hear those stories, and you just, what goes through someone's head when they do something like that is just amazing to me. It's like what causes you to think that that's okay to do? What causes you to think that that's not, that the possibility of that killing somebody is really high. It is really high. I mean, like you said, had that come through the windshield and it just happened to be on, you know, closer to the driver's side of that windshield, that's on you. You know, that is hitting you. And that's what I don't get. I do not get the malice in people's hearts that they would do something like that and jeopardize not just your life, but everybody around you, because, you know, your reaction to that is now, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And that's what I find just, I don't know, just crazy, just a crazy thing.
It's probably some young kids who just don't value life because they're inexperienced. They just think that life is long and immortal And so they think it's going to be a funny prank. They're not trying to kill somebody. They're just trying to be assholes, you know? And unfortunately, people die when people act like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, you were okay, Colby. I really am glad, because, wow, that's just nuts. That is just nuts. I've never had anything like that happen, but man, I cannot imagine what's going through your head when you first hear that thing. Like you said, I'm sure it sounds like a bomb going off. Oh my word. You know, it just, these things are not, you know, it's not all, you know, acoustic tile on the inside, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be, oh my gosh. Yeah. I would have been scared, man. I would have been scared. And one of these days I'm going to have my buddy, come in the studio, Jake. And, I don't know if he's ever even found out what happened, but one day he was driving his truck and all of a sudden his window just gets blown out, and it just shattered. And so I don't know if it was hit by a golf ball, if somebody shot it out. You know, if he was driving in North Philly, chances are somebody shot it out. So I don't know where he was at, but we'll have him tell that story when he comes in studio and stuff for sure. But yeah, I mean, did that do anything for your psyche as far as driving and stuff, or did you kind of just brush it off and carry on?
Well, what's funny is, it kind of took me back to when I was in Iraq, because one of the things that we'd have to do as we were going under bridges was to scan the bridge going under and then leaving a bridge, because Hodge would always throw, you know, they throw grenades off bridges onto convoys as they were going under. Mm-hmm. And, it didn't take me back to that point, but I started to think, man, you know, that's exactly how the enemy used to hit us when we were over there. They would throw stuff off the bridges. And I remember always having to, I can hear the traffic on the radio, just memory of that kind of traffic as guys, our lead trucks would go under and then they'd turn back, and clear the bridge, and they'd call it out over the radio, you know, and then the last truck in the convoy would go under, and then they'd do the same thing back and forth. And, it's definitely, I had somebody pull out and pull past me when I was, I think this was last year, I was running down the San Antonio running line haul, and a guy had pulled up next to me and fired off a round, right outside of our terminal. And, it makes me, you know, when somebody gets up kind of close, or I feel like somebody might be driving aggressive or something, and, it makes me kind of side eye them, you know what I'm saying? Or kind of grip the wheel a little tighter, because, you know, I mean, there's no telling what's going to happen. You know, nowadays somebody's liable just to pull a gun out and just shoot right through your door just because they don't.
Yeah.
For whatever, you know, who knows?
Yep. Just because. And that's the scary thing. It really is. I agree with you, Colby. I really do. That it makes me nervous. I slow down. I'm like, all right, dude, it's all yours. I'm backing out. You can have it. I'll slow down. I'll go from, you know, 65, 67 down. I'll take it down to 60. And if I got to go more, I'll go more. There's nothing anymore. After doing this for almost 30 years, there's nothing anymore that's worth my life. That's just where I'm at. And I will just do what I have to do. You know, so I'll just back out of it. I'll do whatever. That's just what that's where your mind goes. After doing this for such a long time, you look at these things and you learn to drive. And this is why they teach it. You know, you drive defensively because I want to get home. You know what? That's the way it's going to be. I'm going to get home.
Right.
So, yeah, but you know, that would scare the tar out of me, dude. That would just do it to me. You know, something landing on my truck off an overpass. Yep. Yep. I'd be out. I'm done.
So I want to
get me.
Listen, I want to ask you a question. What was scarier, that concrete block or getting bit by a pit bull?
Well, I used to not be gun shy with dogs. And now I, after that dog jumped on me. Well, what's funny is when I was a kid, I had been bit two different times, by dogs. And I grew up from that point until actually, until that pit bull jumps on me at that delivery, I wasn't really nervous around dogs per se. But after that dog, after that pit bull jumped on me that day, when I get around, you know, any kind of dog that looks a little sketchy, man, my heart rate goes up for sure. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, that was another one of those situations where what I was delivering that day was I was in a pup, in a 28-foot pup, and they had put, this guy had this commercial zero-turn mower that was palletized, but they loaded the daggone thing in the nose of the trailer and wanted me, no lift gate either. Like, I don't know what they were thinking. Like, it was too big to fit on a regular lift gate anyway.
Right.
But I have a pallet jack in the truck. And they expect me to deliver it but by that time I was thinking, well, I'll just figure it out when I get there. I'm not stressed about it. You know, if they don't have a way to get it off, I'll just bring it back. You know, I had been around, you know, been around the block for, you know, as you would say, by that time. So I get there and I show the guy, I said, okay, well, here's your stuff or here's your mower. It's in the nose of the trailer. Do you have a way to get it off? And he actually had old forklift at his property. So he said, yeah, I got a forklift. How we got it off was when he finally got the forklift over there, I, you know, hooked a strap to the thing and he just drug it to the back of the trailer and he pulled it off the forklift. But in between, when I pulled up there, he wasn't there at his property. And he lives down in a pretty sketchy area in South Dallas. And so he had a dog out there that obviously he had him for protection, which is perfectly fine. I would do the same thing. As I pulled up there and made the phone call, let the guy know, hey, I'm here. He said, okay, I'll be there. And I'm waiting and I'm watching this guy's dog. And he's dragging this long piece of cable. And I can see where the cable was hooked up to his front porch. And so I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm not worried about this dog at all. Well, the guy gets there. I let him know what the situation is. He says, okay, let me go around to the back of my property and get this forklift. I said, okay. So I'm standing outside in the neutral zone. I'm out in the street. Right. And he goes through his front gate and leaves his gate open. And this dog is looking at me, watching me. And he kind of had barked at me intermittently. And the guy goes around the back of the property to get the forklift. And this dog starts coming towards the open gate, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, he sees the open gate and still I'm not worried because I knew that he had that cable on him. And he starts picking up speed. And about the time he gets to the open gate, I realized that cable was broke and he was just dragging a long piece of cable. And he comes through the gate and I kind of just put my hands out or down, just, you know, like or kind of the back of my hand just to try to, you know, a friendly gesture, like I was going to let him sniff my hand. And this dog comes straight to me. And as soon as he got to me, he jumped to bite me right in my face. I mean, he's a pit bull, so he could jump freaking 15 feet in the air, right? But right. He goes to jump to bite me in my face, and I pull my chin back, and he bit me right on my pec, right on my right pec muscle. Wow. And hung off of it and hit the ground. When he hit the ground, he just bolted down the street and left out in the parking lot or out in the neighborhood. And here comes a guy around on his little forklift. And he sees his dog running off. And as he pulls up, he said, did that dog just bite you? I said, yeah, he sure did. I pulled my shirt down and looked, and it looked like a great white teeth mark bit top and bottom. You can see every one of his top and bottom teeth right on my, right above my, my nipple right there.
Wow.
And, so I had to go in and, log it in. And, you know, after we unloaded his deal, I went in and wrote it up and everything. And of course, they got a big laugh out of it and dispatch. But
Yeah, isn't that nice? They got to laugh at your expense.
Oh yeah,
that's just crazy. I mean, this is the stuff that you that drivers put up with, and you deal with it, and it's the best you can do is just deal with it, you know, and keep moving along. But wow, I'm glad he missed your face. Holy crap!
Yeah,
yeah. Man. Well, I don't feel bad about it. You know, I mean, if it was my dog, or I'd have had a dog out there like that, he was just doing his job, really.
Yep.
But you know, he realized his cable was loose, so he was going to come get me, and he did.
Yes, he did. Wow, that is crazy, dude.
What was the attitude of the guy that when he realized the dog bit you and stuff? Was he apologetic, or was he just like, "Eh, you'll get over it"?
It's kind of both. And I think he kind of was worried about, you know, me doing something about it or pressing charges or whatever, but. You know, I let him know that I understood why the dog was there and what the point was. I wasn't worried about it. If the company was going to have something to do with it, then they might. But he was apologetic, but he wasn't even worried that his dog ran off into the neighborhood and left either. He was just kind of not too worried about it. He was more worried about his zero turn mower, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I was him, I would try to push it off too. Like, oh, it's not a big deal. Trying to like almost like use reverse psychology on you. Be like, don't you think about suing me?
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I mean, the thing it would, if that were me, I mean, I just you know, I'm just, you know, thinking out loud here. My biggest concern would be that the dog ran off into the neighborhood. What is that dog gonna? If he bit the truck driver, what's he gonna do to somebody else that he might come in contact with in the neighborhood? You know, who might do something? You know, but that's just me. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the neighborhood he is a part of. I don't really think he was worried about it too much. You know, he probably would have liked for the dog to run off and bite somebody. I mean, this is a pretty rough neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, you know, a place as big as Dallas, I'm sure it's got, you know, some sketchy areas. So, you know, it's just the way it is. But, yeah, it's crazy.
Yes, it is. Listen, let me ask you a question here. You said in the email about carrying a treadmill up a spiral staircase. Did you have to do that by yourself?
Huh. No, that was, I was delivering to an Indian household, and, the husband, he was a little bitty guy, smaller than me. And, they wanted it up on their landing on their second story inside their house. And I can't remember if it was a spiral, but it definitely had, some transitions in the staircase. And, I mean, there was no way I was going to get the thing up there by myself for sure. That's why I had the guy help me. I almost couldn't get the thing across the threshold into the house, you know, and really for P&D, you know, that's not really part of your job description. You know, you don't bring the thing in and set it up for him and everything, you know, but sometimes you don't, you know, you feel generous. And of course, I always would try to be as generous as I could and try to go out of my way, go the extra mile and help, you know, help some people out. That's, you know, that's what I would like, you know, for somebody to do for me anyway. And, so I got it into their house, and I remember it was a husband, a wife, I think a grandmother or a mother-in-law, and then like all the kids, but they were all there. Like this was, I don't know, I guess they were making a big deal out of the fact that they were getting this thing delivered to them. So they're all standing there in their living room after I struggled to get this thing into their house across the threshold and everything. And I was about to, you know, cut ties and walk away. And, they were wanting me to, they're like, well, we need you to put it up there and get it set up. And I'm thinking, come on now, this this is not my job description. Like,
right.
That's not what I do. I'm just supposed to drop it off out there on the sidewalk, you know?
Yeah.
Get it on your property and that's it. And, but I had already gone this far and I was like, okay. And, those things are not, they're not light.
No.
So I told the guy, I said, well, I'm going to need you to help me get this thing up here. And it's like trying to carry the slate for a pool table up some stairs. And it was not fun. We finally got it up there. And sure enough, I broke it. As soon as I broke it out of the box, I was like, all right, I'm leaving. I got, but they tipped me. They gave me $10 before I left. But it was
$10 for that icy hot you're going to need on the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not fun for sure. Especially, you know, having somebody, you know, I don't mean to talk about anybody, but, you know, he wasn't, it didn't seem like he was trying too hard to help me out. But anyway, that wasn't fun.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not fun. I've been down that road carrying crap into places that weren't part of the job description and all that stuff. And it's just, you know, to be honest with you, I got to the point where I stopped doing it. I just wouldn't do it anymore. I'd be like, no, we don't do that. It's just a curbside delivery. Good luck. But son, I need help. I'm 98 years old. Should have thought about that before you ordered it, Grandma. Sorry. Got to keep it moving. Have a nice day.
Dang. That's pretty harsh.
Right hey, there. Man.
I know, right? That's what I'm sitting here thinking.
Hey, man.
Like, wow.
I'm sure. Listen, you don't get to be 98 years old without having family members helping you out with stuff. Call one of your grandsons. I'm not him, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
All right. Let's wrap this show up with the homeless lady story, because I can almost sympathize with what you're about to say here, because you said homeless lady don't want no apple. I think I know where that's going. So tell us this story, and then I want to bring you back again in the future to tell your line haul stories.
Okay. Well, being out on the road on, you know, or out P&D, you get to stop wherever and sit down and eat lunch. And you meet some anyway, the point is, I had a pretty big lunch and I always packed a pretty big lunch and, you know, I'd kind of graze as I was going through the day. And, you know, you get off at a stop somewhere, or you get off the exit, you know, and there's people standing there and they're wanting something, or, you know, typically they want money, right? They say that they'll take anything, but normally it's money that they want. And sadly, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But, so anyway, I pull up at a stop sign and there's a lady. There's a couple of people there, I think, but there's a lady. She was working the cars, you know, back and forth. And I didn't ever carry any cash on me, but I had food, and there would be times where I would actually have my wife pack me nearly a double lunch so that I could give it away because I felt bad, you know. And, you know, I still would like to try to do that, but people take advantage of you no matter where they are in society anyway. But the point is, I pull up and this lady, she is working the traffic and she comes up to the door and, she's asking, I don't remember what she was asking for. I guess probably money. I said, well, I don't have any money, but I can give you, you know, I can give you something to eat. Mm-hmm. And I think all I had left was an apple, you know? And, so I said, here, I went to hand her an apple and, well, she didn't have any teeth. I didn't know this, but she had maybe one or two teeth in the front. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you MF-er, do you think I want an apple? You think I can eat an apple? What are you thinking? You know? And this lady went off on me.
Wow.
After, you know, she's out there begging on the street. She went off on me because I was going to give her an apple. Well, first of all, look, lady, I didn't know you didn't have any teeth. Second of all, beggars can't be choosers. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm not going to give you some money so you can go spend it on some more dope or spend it on some alcohol or whatever and get wasted and come back out here and take advantage of some more people. I was trying to do the decent thing and give you an apple. How am I supposed to know right. You can't eat the daggum thing? Right. You know?
All you got to do is tell her.
Yeah, lady didn't want no apple.
Yeah, yeah, you just tell her, you know, what you need to do is go find that lady again, bring a whole bring a whole bushel of a basket full of apples and just dump it on her and say, take off your socks, put the apples inside, mash them up, and drink it. That's wow. it. Don't give me a hard time, okay? I'm trying to be nice, but now you're trying to bring the wow. nasty out.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, yeah. wow. the ungrateful nature sometimes, like people just assume the worst of everybody yeah. all the time. So if you want to assume the worst of me, I can give you the worst of me. Like, you know, like I had this thing where, you know, because I used to, I very much similar as you, Colby, I would, you know, give where I could, and, you know, usually had extra stuff in my truck for that reason. And driving the city, you're driving Dallas, driving Philadelphia, you don't keep cash on you. And even some of these companies, the trucks even say our driver does not keep cash on them.
Right.
But I would try to bring water and things like that, especially on hot summer days. Well, I was driving back from Reading, Pennsylvania one time. I ate at Uno's and I had a whole lasagna left over. And there's this guy walking down the highway with a shopping cart, and, you know, all his possessions were inside the shopping cart.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled over and offered him the whole thing of lasagna. And he's like, man, I don't want food. He's like, you think I need food? I need money. If you ain't got money, I don't want it. I'm just like, yo, bro, like, what the heck? You would think you'd be a little bit more humble.
Just thankful. Well, I'll tell you what. This is what happened to me earlier this year. Now, I run line haul, so I don't see very many people, and I don't run into many people. But I was sitting at my relay point, and, you know, I was just taking my lunch. And, you know, I'm right next to a gas station. We're in one gas station that's closed, and the one right next to us is open. So that's where we do our relay, in the closed one. So it was just me. I was the last one sitting there, you know, because I had to finish out my lunch, my half hour. And this is like 3 o'clock in the morning. An old lady comes over to me and she says, hey, you know, I'm traveling. I need to get to such and such a place in Ohio and I don't have any money for gas. Can you help me? You know, can you help me at all? And, you know, I don't carry cash like you guys. I don't care. I don't keep cash on me. And so I said, well, I said, maybe the gas station over there can help you out. I said, I really don't carry any cash with me. She walked away. She went over and I just began to feel bad in my own heart. And I thought to myself, it's when I say this, you know, it's like the Lord just binged me in the ear and is like, you have a debit card in your pocket and they have an ATM. And so I walked over and she's standing in there talking with the lady behind the counter. And I walked over to the ATM machine, took money out, and I turned around and I handed it to her. And what was going through my head was, if this was my wife, if this was my mom, I needed to do this. Because if it was somebody that I loved, I would want someone to help them. And I handed it to her. And she's a nice old lady. I mean, she had to be like 65, 70. She goes, can I give you a hug? I said, yeah, fine, whatever. She gave me a hug. And I turned around and walked away, you know, because it's just sometimes, even though we get that rejection from people sometimes that they have that response, sometimes that person is there who really does need help. And we do it in spite of ourselves and in spite of the response, you know. And that's my good Samaritan story that happened to me earlier this year. And I just felt bad for the lady because she had miles to go and she had to get back on the turnpike and she just didn't have any cash on her. It's like, I get it. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, she said, maybe I can call a friend and they can come meet me here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Well, this is 3 o'clock. She's going to be sitting there for 5 hours. I'm like, nah. And that's why I was like, you know, when it popped into my head, you have a debit card in your wallet. You can walk over and get money out. Deal with it. Go ahead. Yeah. And I don't know her from Adam, you know, and I'll never see her again. And that's okay. I don't need to, you know, but anyway, that was,
amen.
That was my story, you know.
Bring a bushel of apples. Bring a bushel of apples.
A bushel of apples and socks, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Those, you know, those things happen so many times to us that in us as Christians, we, you know, we're always in that split second moment. We're thinking, okay, Lord, can you give me a little bit of discernment here? Because you don't want to be taken advantage of.
Right.
And, you know, I'm afraid that I'm not afraid, but I personally, I would imagine if the Lord was there, you know, he would just remind us of the way he walked on the earth. And,
yep,
you know, it wouldn't matter whether they were going to take advantage of right. you or not. That's not our, you know, that's yep. not our decision,
not
but
me.
We in our right. flesh and we in our, you know, we in our fallen state, we think to ourselves, you know, well, I don't want to be taken advantage of. Right. I want to be the one with the upper hand. But the Lord continuously tells us, you know, go the extra mile.
Yep.
If he asked you to go with him one, offered to take, you know, carry his armor 2 miles, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But you know, we've been there so many times, we think to ourselves, man, can you give me a little bit of discernment here? Because, you know, I don't want to give this guy some money. He's going to go buy some more dope. You know, that's why you just walk him into the station and say, hey, I'll buy you a sandwich or I'll buy you something like this, but
sure.
I'm not going to give you some cash, you know.
Sure.
That's, I guess that's just wisdom talking, but.
Yep. It's life. Yeah.
You know,
it's life experience.
I don't know. Like when it comes to that stuff, like I got to the point where I just didn't care. I'm just like, whatever. Like I can't control what other people do, you know.
Right.
Yeah. All I can control is what I do. And so if you're going to take the money that I give you, that's now in your possession, it's yours, and you're going to do drugs. Well, if it wasn't me, it was somebody else.
Right.
You would have found a way to get it either way. So, not that I want to, you know, attribute to somebody's drug addiction,
yeah,
but
it,
at the same time, it's like, you know, what if they were sincere and they needed the money? Like you,
yeah.
like you said earlier with that
with
beautiful heart wrenching
yep.
story.
Of
the
a
little just, old lady at the truck stop.
It was just a response to a situation, you know, but it happens.
Yeah.
Those things happen. You have, you know, it's just because life jades us. It really does. You know, we look at these things and we do, we look at with a cynical attitude, and it's, you know, it can make us look at things that way. And I didn't feel that way with her. I didn't. And I mean, this literally was an old lady, a little old lady with, you know, a nice, you know, decent car, not a brand new car, nothing fancy, but it was, you know, she took care of it. So it wasn't like, you know,
that's how they trick you.
You know what? If she did, it's okay. You know, it left me, you know, $40. What's the difference? You know, try and give her enough to get her off the turnpike and where she needs to go, enough for gas and enough for a toll.
Yeah.
I was, you know, it's like God's given me much more than that, you know, so I was okay
yeah.
with it.
It could have been an angel you yep. were entertaining and not known it, you know?
Exactly.
So
we do what we do, you know, but anyway, that was a fun conversation. It really was.
Indeed, Colby. Listen, can we bring you back on though to talk about the line haul story sometime?
We can, I'd love to do that, man. I'm sorry about the foul up in the beginning.
No worries,
it's fine,
dude.
Man.
No worries at all. Nope.
Part of our job is making sure the connection is as good as possible. So
yep.
you weren't the first and you won't be the last, man, that has a connection that needs work before we start recording. It's all good, man.
Yep, it's no biggie. Anyway, it's been a blast talking with you, Colby. It really has been.
Well, I appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you again for having me on, and I guess I'm supposed to be on for the other show next month.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. The other show.
Well, I guess I'll be talking to you then. Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, Dad, what can they do?
They can share the stinking show.
Share the freaking show.
Share it with your friends. Share it with your enemies. Share it with your frenemies. Share with your husbands, your wives, your girlfriends, your boyfriends, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, and your mom and dad.
And shout out to all the Pitt, Ohio drivers out there listening to the show. I've been hearing that the show is making its rounds between the terminals, Columbus, Cherry Hill, Allentown, Norristown, Baltimore, Richmond. All you guys listening out there, we love you. And we're holding it down for the Pitt fam.
You got that right.
Until next week, friends, keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane.